Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Josh explains how to believe and receive the sacrifice that Jesus made. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
How many of you are ready to get into the message today? Would you stand to your feet with me as we begin? The message title today is Believe and Receive. And we are continuing in this mini-series of Believe, Trust, and Live, which is an overall theme, a bigger theme of the Ecclesia. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18 says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.'" Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there is power in your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are changed as we look into your word. Today, as we partake of your word, Lord, today as we come into this house to receive from your hand, I ask, O God, that it would be life to our hearts, to our spirits, to our being, and that you would transform our lives into your glorious image more and more each and every day by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be reseated. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Amen? What is the correlation between these two statements? Jesus said that he would establish his church on the belief that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as a result of establishing his church on this belief that he is Christ, the Son of the living God, as a result, that the gates of hell would not be able to stand against the church. This speaks to power. The picture that Jesus is painting is a picture of the church storming the gates of hell, pushing back the devil and his kingdom, and taking ground. It is a picture of perpetual defeat of the enemy. How many of you believe that? Say amen. When the church, the ecclesia, truly believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, we win. When the church holds the belief as its foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the devil loses every time. Here's the question. Why aren't we winning? The second question to that is, what are we not believing? How many of you have heard these statements? Maybe somebody said it to you. None of you would have ever said any of these things, but somebody might have said it once or twice. "Well, the devil has me by the tail. Oh, the devil made me do it. Oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus. Oh, I'll make it through somehow." What is wrong with us? Why do we walk around in defeat? Why do we walk around bound with the chains of addiction and sin? Why do we allow our minds to be filled with thoughts of doubt and worry and fear? Why do we accept the rule of the enemy in our lives, our homes, our families, our neighborhoods, our communities, and in our city? Jesus said that his church is called to storm the gates of hell and to beat back the forces of darkness. Jesus said that his church is a victorious, powerful, undefeated church. So why do we lay around and take it? Why do we accept defeat at the hands of the enemy? Because we don't believe. We don't believe. It's gotten too easy to just be a victim. Everybody wants to be a victim. Everyone wants the attention that it brings. It's easy to be a victim. It requires nothing from you. It's easy to wallow around in self-pity and in sorrow. We even glorify and spiritualize our complacency. Pray for me, brother. Pray for me, sister. I'm just struggling to make it through. I'm just going through trials and tribulations for Jesus. We're so set in our victim mentality that we've come to embrace our problems as our personality. We identify ourselves by the problems that we face. We encounter anxiety, and now it's my anxiety. We encounter depression, and now it's my depression. We encounter anger, and now it's my anger problem. We get a diagnosis, and now I am diabetic. I am an alcoholic. I have cancer. I have, fill in the blank, my disease, my addiction, my problem. This is who I am. This is what I have. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that you ignore the problem that you face. I'm not asking you to pretend that it doesn't exist. The first step to victory is identifying the enemy. David did not ignore the bear. David did not ignore the lion. David did not ignore Goliath and pretend that he wasn't there. While everyone else was running and hiding and hoping that Goliath would just go away, David started asking questions. Who is this giant? Why does he think he can defy God and his chosen people? What is going on here? He had to get the details first. Once he had a clear understanding of the problem, then he was ready to face the giant. The problem for us is that we automatically accept defeat. We cower in fear. We would rather live as slaves than to fight and to die as free men. Here's what we fail to realize. The battle has already been won. Jesus already defeated the enemy when he died for our freedom. Sin and death and the grave and the devil no longer have any power over us. Yet we refuse to reclaim our freedom. We refuse to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Today I'm looking for a few good men, a few good women of God who will stand and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to take it anymore. I will no longer sit idly by and watch the devil wreak havoc on my family, my neighbors, my community, my city, my church, my life. Today, I'm looking for someone who would stand with me and believe that God is still on the throne and that he has won the victory. I'm looking for a few who would dare to believe that the church of Jesus Christ has been called to storm the gates of hell and to beat back the forces of darkness. Is there anyone with me today who would dare to believe that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? Somebody stand to your feet and give a mighty roar. Let the Lion of Judah roar. Come on, Zion. Come on and shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here's the problem. When the mountain that you face becomes your monument, you will protect it at all cost. When the mountain that you face becomes your monument, you will protect it at all cost. Some of you, some of us, need to tear down the altars and the shrines that we have built in worship of our problems. Some of us have glorified our problems and then turned them into a golden calf. Care for it. We nurture it. We give it all of our attention. We've built our life around our problems. All of our money, all of our resources, all of our energy, all of our efforts, our time is wasted on our problems. Here's how you know that you have, that your problem has become an idol. You ready? Somebody said no. Do you make excuses for your problems? So I drink a little bit more than I should. At least I'm not a violent and abusive person. So I look at a little porn now and then. At least I'm not sleeping around. So I have an anger problem. At least I'm not a murderer. So I binge watch Netflix or YouTube or whatever it is, Hulu, whatever. Or I'm addicted to gaming, or I stress eat. At least I don't have a bad addiction. So maybe I'm always up in everybody's business and addicted to gossip, but at least I care about people and I pray for them. Do you use your problem as an excuse for not doing what you know that you should do? Remember, we're talking about tells, if you will, of whether or not your problem has become an idol. Do you use your problems as an excuse for not doing what you know that you should do? I strive for excellence, and I try to stay on task, but my ADD gets in the way. Sorry, I just can't do it. I want to get to church and I want to be a part of the life group, but my anxiety gets in the way. I just can't do it. I would have helped, but my headache wouldn't let me. I want to serve my community, my family, my church. I want to read my Bible and pray. I want to be there for others, but my problems won't let me. Pastor, whatever you need, I'm there. I can sing, I can teach, I can serve. Oops, sorry. My problem won't let me. Got real quiet in here. I came today to tear down some altars. I came to destroy some idols. Here's a third tell. Do you protect your problems at all cost? Do you protect your problems at all cost? Somebody comes to me and says, I don't have a job. I'll say, let me pray for you. Wait, does that mean I have to work? I'm bedridden. Let me pray for you. Wait, will I lose my disability? People have actually said this to me, y'all. I'm not making this stuff up. I wish I was. My child struggles with anxiety, with depression. By the way, it wasn't here, okay? Just, y'all are all perfect. I saw somebody looking around trying to figure out who said that. What? Y'all are all perfect. My child struggles with depression and anxiety. Bring them to church. Let us pray for them. Well, I don't want to force them. We're just learning to live with it. I know some people that will tell you all about their problems, but will get mad if you suggest that God has the power to heal them or to deliver them. You just don't care about me. You're not sensitive to me. You don't understand my problems. This is just who I am. It's my cross to bear. If God didn't want me to have this, He wouldn't have given it to me. This is just God's will for my life. Really? Really? God wants you to suffer? God wants you to be sick? God wants you to have cancer? God wants you to struggle with addiction? God wants you to be lonely? God wants you to have anxiety and depression? God wants you to have ADD and migraines and chronic fatigue? Stop accepting your problems as permanent. Stop accepting defeat as your default. Stop making excuses for your problems. Stop protecting your problems. Start believing in Jesus. Start believing that you are a child of God. Start believing the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors. Say it with me. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come, Jesus said. Say it with me. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Jesus speaking. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Stop letting the enemy lie to you and defeat you and keep you in bondage. It's time to get up and fight. It's time to take a stand against the forces of darkness. It's time to storm the gates of hell and take back what the devil has stolen from us. I am here today to stir up your faith within you. God is here to increase your faith. The time has come for you to stand firm and hold fast to the confession of your faith. The time has come for you to believe. Do you believe today? Do you believe Jesus today? I'm going to read a passage from the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have your YouTube app, you can pull it up there. The scriptures are in there. I mean, YouVersion app. But I want you to follow along as we read this. Everybody there? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, say without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. Now we're going to move on to verse 30 through 40. It says this. So it's starting at verse 40 now. 30. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging. Yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheep's and goat's skins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I have it up here on the screen. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I wonder if there is anyone in this place who is ready to believe. Is there anyone who is ready to believe God for more? Is there anyone who is ready to stand and to fight? Are you ready to take back what the enemy has stolen from you? Jesus already paid the price. He died so that you might have life. He was nailed to the cross so that you could go free. His stripes on his back purchased your healing. His suffering restored you as sons and daughters. When he died, he defeated Satan. When he arose, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Because he reigns victorious, we have been given the victory. This is why we are more than conquerors. The battle has already been fought, and the victory has already been won. Through Jesus, we are victorious. I have victory in Jesus. I want somebody to say it with me. Say, victory in Jesus. Say it again. Victory in Jesus. Now make it personal. I have victory in Jesus. Give the Lord praise for that today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says this. It says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Here's the truth. Jesus has done all of this for us. But if we fail to take hold of it, we live in defeat. That makes me mad. That infuriates me. It infuriates me to think that Jesus paid such a high price for my salvation, for my healing, for my freedom, for my peace, and yet I fail to take hold of it because I fail to believe. Jesus, just before he would give his life, stood looking over Jerusalem, and he wept. He didn't cry. He wept. He was in agony as he cried out, "My people, my children, how long I have desired to rescue you, but you have rejected me over and over and over again. You refuse to receive my help because you refuse to receive me. You refuse to believe, and so you fail to receive. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, say, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children. To those who believe, say, to those who believe in his name. Family, please hear the heart of the Father today. God is looking for children. He has given his all so that you may live in abundance. He said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But in order for you to receive him and all that he has for you, you must believe. You must believe. You may say, well, I put my faith in Jesus a long time ago. Yeah, but do you really believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe he has all authority? Do you believe he has all power? And do you believe that he has called you his children? God, increase our faith. Say it with me. Say, God, increase my faith. Say, Lord, increase my faith. Say, Jesus, give me faith to believe in you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us run the race that is set before us, forgetting what is behind and looking ahead. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning with us? Father, I ask that your presence would enter into this room even now, and to every person, into the room of every person who is with us watching this at this moment. Would your presence enter? And when you begin, would you begin to increase our faith? Would you help us, Lord, to believe that you are good and that you have only good things for us? Lord, I ask that you would help us to focus our eyes upon you, Jesus. You are the one who authored, and you are the one who completed our faith. So we look to you, Jesus, and we say, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. And give us the strength, give us the tenacity, give us the determination to press on, to press on, to push forward, to continue to stand and proclaim and believe and trust and fight and live in your love, declaring those things that are not as though they were, believing in you, taking hold of that for which you took hold of me. May we possess our freedom. May we possess our salvation. May we possess our promise. May we possess our healing. May we be filled with your power as the Church of Jesus Christ, storming the gates of hell and pushing back the forces of darkness. I thank you, Lord, that there is power in your blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in your name. There is power. There is power, wonder-working power. Because you declared that you came to bring our freedom. And we understand that when you were nailed to that cross, you took our shame. You took our sin. You took all of our sickness upon your body. And looking back at that cross, the Apostle Peter declared, by his stripes, we were healed. By his stripes, we were healed. I want you to lift your hands to heaven and I want you to say, by his stripes, I am healed. All has been forgiven. You have been forgiven. You have been saved. You have been set free. You have been healed. All of the curses have been broken off of your life. All of the pain of the past has been removed. You are a new creation. A new creation. I want you to receive the perfected work of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. As we are about to partake of communion, before we do that, I would just give an opportunity. If there is anyone here that would say, I have never placed my faith in Jesus, I have never believed in Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity today. The Bible declares that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a confession of faith. It's a confession of faith. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never given your life to Jesus, and you would like to do so today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one's looking around, if you're here in this room or within the sound of my voice, I want to give you this opportunity right now. If you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you'd like to place your faith in him, believe in him, would you just raise your hand right where you are so that we can pray together? Is there anyone? I see that hand. See that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Would everyone just pray this prayer with me? Say, dear Jesus, I commit my life to you. I place my faith in you. I believe in you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you have forgiven me. I believe that you rose again with all power. And I believe that you have called me as your child. Today, I put my faith in you. Today, I put my hope in you. Today, I put my trust in you. I give you my life. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you that you receive me as your child. From this day forth, I now belong to you, Jesus. And I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by this message, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at My247Church. Remember, be the church 24/7.